Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Interesting finish here, 77. Oh, see, and they're going at it.
Oh, yeah.
Howard and Guard are not happy right now as the two of them continue to have words. We told you Juwan Howard was not happy about that timeout. Yo, and Juwan Howard just threw a right hand. And now we got a scrum. We have a scrum in Madison. Players are pushing and shoving. This is an ugly scene. This is an ugly scene.
Oh, my God.
Fight.
Highlight courtesy of CBS. Maybe a little over the top with the description. Like, just a little over the top of what happened yesterday with Juwan Howard and Greg Gard. A point of order before I bring on Stephen Bardo. I am not new to softball. People are texting and tweeting me like what I'm saying is that my hope is that I'm going to talk about it a little bit more while there's no baseball. And my hope is that other people will check it out as well. Like, I've been to a softball game at Alabama. I've been to a softball game at Wish Field at DePaul. So I'm not new to the game. But I am talking about it a little bit more than I would if there was spring training, because I think it's a good alternative. I think college baseball and softball is a really good alternative. And I was entertained most of the weekend. I love the ping. I love the ping of aluminum bats. And I know that they've changed them since when I was playing, because the aluminum bats I was playing with, man, you catch a bad one real quick. If you hit the ball right at somebody. Stephen Bardo is the best college basketball analyst in America. Full stop. He's also really good at calling NBA games, which I'm going to talk to him about. He joins me on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Stephen, what's up, man?
How you doing, Lawrence?
Man, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. You know, we're getting into the nitty-gritty of the college basketball season, so it's exciting times and some troubling times as well.
I want to talk about the troubling times, but I want to ask you first, because I don't want to forget to do this. And I want to tell you, man, you did a great job. When you step in and do Bulls games, you're doing a really, really good job. And I joked with someone, look, man, a Benetti-Bardo tandem could be a number one in a lot of NBA markets. So to have you guys as like the guys that were filling in as a basketball fan, it brought me a lot of joy.
Oh, I really appreciate that, man. I think the world of Jason Benetti. I've had the pleasure of working with him, Lawrence, a few times, and there's not a person that's more prepared. There's really not a funnier guy in that seat, in my opinion. And, you know, he really cares about whatever he's doing. And when you have passionate professionals that you're working with like that, it just made it easy for me. And I'm going to admit it. I don't care what people think. I was like a little kid calling those Bulls games, man. I'm trying to tell you, I was excited. It was fun for me. It was kind of a bucket list thing that I never imagined being able to do. So I had a great time calling the Bulls games, because they are an exciting team to cover.
Yeah, how much fun is it being that this is a team that's sitting at the top of the Eastern Conference? And, I mean, the last 5 years of Bulls basketball has not been a lot of fun. This team has been a ton of fun.
It's just a breath of fresh air, because they're playing the right way. And it starts at the top, and it trickles down to the court. And these guys are on the same page. Everybody is really accepting their roles, and they're exciting. You know, they got some nastiness to them. And, you know, DeMar DeRozan, I knew he had some game left. I didn't know he had this much game left. I mean, he's been a revelation. So it's really been good to see, you know, a Bulls franchise that needs to be good for the NBA to be its best. And I'm just glad that I was able to get a few games in covering these guys.
Steven drops nuggets on his Instagram feed. At Steven Bardo is where you can find him. And there's a lot of teaching that goes on, whether you're talking about teaching broadcasters to do the job or teaching ball players how to do the job. What should young players take away from DeMar DeRozan's game?
Oh, man. That, you know, I could go up and hug DeMar every day, all day, every year, because he's brought the mid-range game back into the basketball. I don't understand, Lawrence, where it started. I don't know. I think Golden State may have had something to do with it with their premier shooters. But the game really changed in the last decade, and it's become so analytics-driven. Not that's a part of the toolkit. That seems to be the toolkit for a lot of NBA franchises. And so for a guy like DeMar DeRozan, who can be efficient in his movement, get to his spots, up fake, shoot over people, or, you know, go off the bounce and get into his move into the mid-range, and for him to be shooting at the clip that he's shooting, scoring the amount of points he's scoring, and having the Bulls be a contender, that's the trifecta. That's the triple crown, in my opinion. And I love the fact that he has taken his game, his strengths, and not allowed the general consensus around the NBA to affect his ability to play the game at the highest level. I love it.
It's almost like he said, this is what I do. I'm just going to be great at it. And I think that there's some players that they don't perfect what it is that they're good at. And to me, that's when I see DeMar, I see a guy that said, I'm going to add, because he's shot more three-pointers this year. He's made more three-pointers this year. That's fine. But I'm going to crush this mid-range game. And I wish that more players would look at it and say, okay, I'm going to make that strength impenetrable. And then I can add from there the way that DeMar is.
I totally agree with what you're saying, Lawrence. And the thing is, you know, it takes a guy of DeMar's status to go ahead and be able to do that. You know, you've got to kind of be, you know, secure in yourself, secure in your position as a player in the NBA to be able to it's stepping out a little bit. It's stepping out of the norm. It's stepping away from what's being, you know, glorified and pushed. And like you're saying, it's always a good idea to maximize a skill set. And I think a lot of times young players who are trying to get to the NBA, they're watching the NBA game a lot and trying to figure out, okay, well, I can't do this or I can do this. Instead of, like you're saying, hey, if I'm a 17-foot jump shooter, I'm going to 17-foot you to death. I'm just going to keep doing it till you stop it. And if you don't stop it, I'm going to win. And it takes some courage to do that. It takes, you know, an established type player to do that. But I think DeMar DeRozan is going to give younger players the permission to, like you said, play their game and hone that skill that can really get them to the next level.
Steven Bardo joining me here to talk basketball, obviously. We've been talking a little bit about the pros. Let's talk about college. You should check out Bardo's breakdowns on Facebook and follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Steven Bardo. What do you see happen yesterday between Juwan Howard and Greg Gard?
I was sick to my stomach, Lawrence, when I was watching it. It's just unfortunate because I know both men personally. I know that there's not a bad bone in either one of their bodies. They're not malicious people. They're not dirty people. It's the nature of college basketball in February. And coaches feeling pressure to get their, in particular Michigan, to right the ship and get themselves into the tournament. So there's a lot of pressure. But what really came out of it for me, Lawrence, is that one, you just can't put your hands on people. So there's culpability on both sides, I believe. But for Juwan, it's unacceptable. You can't hit anybody, because if we were to go to any other facet of our society and you lay hands on somebody, you lose your job. So it's just you can't do that. You can't do that. Is Greg Gard supposed to stop a grown man and make him listen if he doesn't want to listen? No, you're not supposed to do that either. And so there's culpability on both sides, but I can't condone anything about that scenario yesterday, because it's ugly for the game, it's ugly for those institutions, and it's just something that I wish didn't happen.
What do you suspect the Big Ten or the University of Michigan will do with Juwan?
You know, we've been those of us in the media today have been bantering back and forth on that. I think what you might see is a suspension for the rest of the regular season and possibly postseason. I know that there are certain writers in certain parts of the country that have called for his firing. I sure hope that that doesn't happen. But I think that it wouldn't surprise me if he got suspended for the rest of the regular season. And maybe Greg Gard might get one game suspension. Maybe Joe Krabbenhoff, who Juwan struck yesterday, may get two, possibly, because there might be some thought that he instigated the situation, kind of escalated the situation. I'm not sure on that, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Juwan suspended for the rest of the year.
Let me ask you about the basketball aspect of it. You've played this game at the highest level. You've succeeded in many regards throughout your entire basketball career. If you and I ran into each other at the Ratner Center, I would say to you, Steven, why doesn't everyone just coach their own team and stop worrying about what's happening with the other team? So I want to know about, from the basketball standpoint, Juwan's team is out there pressing. They're down 15, and there's really no legitimate way that they're going to come back and win the game. Gard is saying, I've called off the dogs. I brought in my bench, but I still don't want my bench guys to get embarrassed and get the 10-second call, so I'm going to use this timeout. Are both guys right in trying to coach their teams in those moments?
Yes, I think so. I think when you look at Juwan's decision to continue to press, I think what he's trying to do is establish great habits for his younger team. He's got a younger basketball team, and there's always lessons to be taught, whether you're winning or losing. So could he have called off the dogs and not been pressing in that late game? Yeah, but I mean, that's his choice. That's his team. Can Greg Gard call a timeout to coach up his walk-on so that they don't get a turnover? Absolutely. If you're going to press me this late in the game, and I don't want my walk-ons to get shown up. I don't want them to leave this game feeling bad about themselves. I'm going to call a timeout and help them figure this thing out. And so, if there's supposed to be mutual respect in the coaching circles, then you bite your lip, you shake hands, and you keep it moving. But to take offense to a timeout in a game that is kind of out of hand, I don't know. I just didn't agree with the way that Juwan seemed to handle that. I didn't necessarily agree with that.
There seems to be a reaction from us, those of us that aren't really involved in it, that we should get rid of the handshake. How do you feel about that?
I totally agree. Because, Lawrence, I'm going to go a little bit deeper on you here. We, in this country, for some reason, we put sports at a pedestal, and we expect sports to teach people what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do when the rest of society cannot get it right themselves. So for the fans that are listening, because I know you have a large base, for the fans that are listening, if you have never played in a high-level Big Ten college basketball game where there's snot, blood, spit, elbows, knees, nails, skin, everything is flying. Everything is it's hand-to-hand combat. And the last thing you want to do when you've been beating on somebody for 2 hours and they've been beating on you is to sit up and try to fake some sportsmanship. Because I think that's overplayed. I think it's long overdue that we get rid of it. The NBA doesn't do it. I've heard people talk about, oh, well, after the football games, those guys would go and hug. That's voluntarily. That's voluntary. They're not forced to go in a handshake line or do whatever. I've heard people talk about the NHL. Well, the NHL can knock each other upside the head during the game. You can't do that in basketball. So, they're probably worn out at the end of games. I don't know. because I haven't played an NHL game, but I have played in a number of Big Ten basketball games where it is heated. And you may like the dude, but you don't want to sit up and fake sportsmanship after the game when you've gotten beaten and the guy's been talking about your mama or your girlfriend for 2 hours. That's not the place for that. So I hope that our sport will look at that very closely and make a decision that makes sense, not that saves face, not that, you know, upholds some BS standard, because there's no room for it in the game anymore. These games, there's too much money on the line. It's too competitive for the players and the coaches to be submitted to that.
This weekend, we had the All-Star Weekend, and Dan and I were talking about, before the show started, we were talking about that the NBA is really good at getting the vibe right with their history of the game. Yeah. I love it when I see some of the old players. As someone who's part of that fraternity, someone who played in the NBA, who's the player, the old school player, that when you see them this past weekend, you like, that's my man right there. I love seeing blah, blah, blah show up at the All-Star game.
Be two of them for me, because Dr. J was on my wall poster growing up. I idolized him. I loved him. The second would be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, because I was fortunate enough to play on a tour with him and get to know him a little bit. And so whenever we see Captain Cap come back around, it's always great. You know, he's becoming a little bit more public, but he's still kind of a quiet guy. So those two really do it for me. And I've been fortunate enough, Lawrence, where, you know, I've gotten to know Magic a little bit, and, you know, Zeke, Isaiah Thomas, and all those guys, I know them now. And so it's still a big deal when I'm in their presence, but nothing like when I see the likes of Dr. J, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Earl the Pearl Monroe. Those guys are legendary in my book.
And you're a legend too, sir. I appreciate you having some time for my show today.
Hey, Lawrence, I always got time for you, man. You have intelligent conversation. I'm always glad to be a part of it.
I thank you so much for having time, man. Keep up the great work. The stuff you're doing, I love the tutorials that you're giving all of the young broadcasters on your Twitter feed, at Stephen Bardo. You can check him out on Instagram there as well. Is there anything else that we could tell the people where they can see Stephen Bardo next?
Bardo's Breakdown tonight on Facebook, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Just look it up. You'll find it. Bardo's Breakdown on Facebook. We're going to go in depth with this situation tonight.
Stephen, as always, I appreciate it, man. Be well.
All right. Thank you, Lawrence.
That is Stephen Bardo, best college basketball analyst in America.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.